From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into another edition of DeKalb Business Today here on DeKalb Business Radio, our last of 2015. I'm Matt Holmes. Executive producer Jason Becknell out sick today, so we thank Mike Salmon for being down here from our Gwinnett studio to fill in. A great panel of guests here to help us round out the year. Before we introduce them, want to remind you, you can listen live every Friday right here on DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. Catch our free podcasts on iTunes or on our website. And of course, you can find us on all the appropriate social media channels. Without further ado, let's get to our panel. And our first guest, someone who we talked with at the DeKalb Chamber of Commerce Golf Tournament a few months back. That's Jim McMahon. He is the owner and broker with McMahon Mortgage, also a member of the DeKalb School Board. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Matt. Glad to be here.
Talk to me a little bit about how you have gotten to wear these two hats.
I appreciate that. So my advocacy on the public ed side was just based on my kids going to school here in DeKalb. I am extremely fortunate to be able to work from my home as a mortgage broker, and that has also given me the opportunity to be a very active and engaged parent, participating in the educational lives of my kids. So probably 7-8 years ago, so I got a 10th grader and an 8th grader, so 10 years ago, time flies when we're having fun.
Yeah, right.
That's when I began my educational journey. And I was a room dad as a room parent. Then I volunteered on the PTA, and then I volunteered for local school councils. And then I took a regional position, and then the next thing you know, the community's like supporting me to move to the next level, be on the Board of Education. And I decided to, with the permission of my lovely wife, to seek public office 4 years ago. And so it's been two elections and 3 years on the board and 3 years still to go. And we are just now gaining that momentum to increase student achievement throughout DeKalb. It's fantastic.
It's a time commitment. I mean, you run your own business. I mean, that's your thing, but it is a time commitment on the side.
It's huge. It's consider it paying it forward, right? Because there's not enough time in the day to accomplish everything we'd like to. It is a, from the heart mainly, but also it's, we're doing it for the kids, right? We'll do anything for our kids and all kids.
I'll freak you out right here. I guess if you have an eighth grader as your youngest, your kids are done with school in 4 years. Would you keep doing this after your kids are out of school?
Are you referring to the proverbial empty nest? Plot,
That's right? It.
So I think, every parent kind of has that in the back of their mind, the countdown clock to when the kids are leaving. And, you know, we joke about it, how positive and how, you know, we're so focused on them getting out of the house, but you don't really realize how good you have it until things are gone. So, yeah, we're 4 years and 6 months and 2 days, but not that I'm counting.
Who's counting? Yeah,
exactly.
Jim McMahon from the DeKalb School Board from McMahon Mortgage. We'll talk more about your mortgage business coming up over the course of the show. I want to introduce our second guest, and that is Tamay Shannon, the CEO of W2S Marketing. You follow her on Twitter at where the number two start. Tamay, good morning. Glad to have you back.
Hey, good morning.
So tell me a little bit about, you have got, what is a Stop Club?
Yeah, you know, towards the end of the year, everybody is planning their next year. What am I going to do for my social media? What am I, all of that stuff. And so I created this to have them have information, content, and all of that stuff. So they're basically prepared for next year. So that's why I created it, for that small business owner who doesn't quite have the budget and to invest in a full-blown social media, somebody else do it. This is something they can do themselves, but I am guiding them and telling them, hey, if you're going to do that on Facebook, do it this way. So it's really an effective tool for their business.
Give us the particulars on that. Where can they find out and where can they sign up? And
yeah, if they go to bit.ly/stopclub, that has all the information there where they sign up and all of that great stuff. And if they email me, or even, you know what, if they Twitter me, if they give me a tweet at where to start, I'll give them a special discount.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get that linked up to our website. What is the date on that?
It is ongoing.
Okay.
So they can jump in anytime is appropriate for them and jump out anytime that's appropriate for them.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. We'll look forward to talking more about your business. Maybe where social media is headed in 2016,
yeah.
Right? I'm sure
right.
There's some new frontiers. Tamay
yes.
Shannon from W2S Marketing. Let's talk with our final guest, and that is James Dallas. He's the owner of J. Dallas Associates, former CIO of Georgia Pacific and Medtronic, and he's got a new book. Good morning, Mr. Dallas.
Morning.
Is that enough? It sounds like you're pretty busy.
Extremely.
Tell me about this new book.
Okay. The whole book is based on how do you lead change successfully, and it focuses in on the political and the people aspect of leading change. And what drove me to write it is that 75% of change initiatives fail, regardless whether they're in business, regardless whether they're in nonprofit, regardless of the organization. And it's all because the primary reason, how to navigate the politics, how to navigate the people part of it. And the book hits it right at the heart.
The title of it makes it sound simple. Mastering the Challenges of Leading Change, Inspire the People and Succeed Where Others Fail. Inspire the People, Succeed Where Others Fail. Again, it sounds simple. Not a lot of people can do that.
No, as I share with people, if you've seen one transformation, you've seen one transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people and the politics are different in each case. Now, in order to inspire the people, you got to become one of the people. So the whole thing is, how do you take yourself and put yourself in the position and the minds of the people that you want to influence? And then understand the ones that they are so vested in status quo, you'll never be able to influence them. So what politics they may play to stop the change. So I get at the heart of those two things.
A lot of this had to come from your professional experience.
Yes, I spent over 30 years leading change in different industries, different functions, different geographies. And it's all based on what I've learned over those 30 years, not only based on my own experiences, but also the experiences of others. So it's written from a practitioner's standpoint, not an academic one, not a consultant one, one that's born based on the trials and tribulations of leading change. As I tell people, my hair color, which is gray, and my hairline, which is by my ears, are not hereditary.
James Dallas from J. Dallas Associates, jdallasassociates.com, the website. He's on Twitter at HJamesDallas. We'll talk more about your business coming up over the course of the show.
Good.
Matt Holmes here on DeKalb Business Today. I want to get back with Jim McMahon again. He is the owner and broker of McMahon Mortgage. Tell us how you got into the mortgage business. How did that come about? Because I read in your bio, like so many great athletes do, you left school early to go to the pros?
Yeah, the professional investment advisors industry is what it was. And I'm learning more and more as a parent that it's hard to teach our teenage kids because they know everything already, right? And same for me as when I was a teenager, graduated from high school. I dabbled in college for a couple of years, but obviously I knew everything at the ripe old age of 19. And at that time in my life, I decided it was best for me because 4 years of college wouldn't do me as well as 4 years in industry. So I knew what I wanted to do at a young age, and I decided to do it. So to answer your question, though, I transitioned. It was meeting the right girl, starting a family, and wanted to spend more time with my family, with my kids. So I transitioned from the investment advisor industry and started up in the residential mortgage industry about 13, 14 years ago. So we had a couple newborns at the house, and it was a big commit. And so that's how I transitioned from corporate America to self-employed.
How has McMahon Mortgage changed over that course of time? How has it grown?
So McMahon Mortgage actually started in 2015, this year. So this is my first year. And, you know, you look back and say, God, why didn't I do this earlier? To be the decision maker, to be the to own it, mm-hmm. right? And but I worked for a couple of different firms. My longest with a great guy named Randy McMullen and Amstar Mortgage Network, who really helped me and mentored me. It's good to find the right leadership to, you know, show you the path. And he was a great mentor and leader, and he's still very active in business right now in the Marietta area. So that is, finishing up year one. I have surpassed all expectations, and I think it's a great alignment with public ed, because if you talk to any realtor, you'll know what drives property values are great public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that being said, I have been fortunate enough to find support for our schools in DeKalb from the DeKalb Association of Realtors, which are about 1,200 strong here. And so I'll give a shout out to them and thank them for their support in supporting our schools.
Now, once upon a time, you relocated from Atlanta to DeKalb County. Talk to me about that transition.
We were looking for the great, perfect place to raise a family. I was born and raised in Buckhead, and Buckhead has grown tremendously and has gotten way too crowded. So we were looking for that perfect place, kind of that, I don't know, from my days growing up, that Mayberry, you know, feeling, the down home, mm-hmm. the small town feel. And we found it in DeKalb. And so we have been here for the last, I have for the last quarter century, and my wife and I have been here for 20 years and love it, have staked it. My parents have moved over, and my sister has moved over, and everybody's here in DeKalb now. So it is home, it is family.
A third generation Atlantan, that makes you like an oddity on the Atlanta scene, right?
Yep. And we actually still have a philanthropic organization called the Buckhead Boys Association. And it was started 46, 47 years ago by a group of fellows who, you know, is a famous author named James Dickey, who wrote a movie called Deliverance and other books. And he wrote a poem called Looking for the Buckhead Boys. And it was it's lasted throughout the years. And we meet annually at the old North Fulton High School at where Atlanta International School is now. And so it was it's pretty good to hold on to your roots a little bit.
We're talking with Jim McMahon of McMahon Mortgage and the DeKalb School Board here on DeKalb Business Today. Talk to me about why public education has been so important to you. I mean, obviously, there are other ways that you could get involved to try and make change for your kids, but this is the one you've elected.
Public ed, so it's interesting that Mr. Austin, or James, is here with us talking about the challenges of leading change, because that was essentially the reason for me going into public service, because I felt that there needed to be a change. It comes down to leadership. And we needed a change in leadership. So I put myself on the line and stuck my neck out there with the support of my family. It's family first. And you can go anywhere in this world if you have a strong support group and strong family and community. And that's something that we have been challenged here in DeKalb, that we have such great communities. But it seems like the narrative has been divisive over the past few years. And what I want to bring is that collective sense of community and support and inclusiveness and not divisiveness. So that's the importance of it.
You get a new school superintendent. You can still call him new. It's been a few months. How have he and the board been working together? Talk about some of the changes and improvements you've been able to implement.
So a great question. It is a huge monumental task. The board has a vision of increasing student achievement, of turning our ship around in a better direction, focused on the kids. And our new leader, Dr. Stephen Green, brings his 30 years of experience to DeKalb. He was the leader in Missouri and leader in New York City. And he has come in the first 5 months and presented the board with a total reorganization of our district so that it pushes the decision-making down closer to the schoolhouse level and gets rid of the levels and levels and levels of bureaucracy that has just challenged us as an enterprise. We need decision-making closer to the schoolhouse level. And that's what he is, that's his focus, our focus as a board, and he's implementing that, and I support him 100%.
So that priority's gone over well with you. What about with the rest of the board? You guys don't agree on everything, I would imagine.
That's the beautiful thing about, you know, how many family members agree on everything, mm-hmm. right? So we are focused on what's most important, what our prime objective is our students, increasing student achievement. And it is healthy to have that differing opinions so that we are all products of our experiences and none of us are alike. It warms my heart and fosters my mind to hear the other sides of the spectrum. I don't know it all. I don't claim to know it all. And it's healthy for me to understand my colleagues and their perspectives on issues and challenges that I may not see on a firsthand basis, but I'm cognizant enough to respect their opinion and listen to their challenges, which aren't exactly the same as ours or mine.
Jim McMahon, the owner and broker with McMahon Mortgage, obviously DeKalb School Board as well. You can find his website, McMahon, McMahan, mortgage.com. He's on LinkedIn as well. Just search Jim McMahon. Jim, we appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Let's talk now with Tamay Shannon, the CEO of W2S Marketing. The number 2smarketing.com is the website. Talk to me a little bit about where social media has been in 2015 and where it's headed in the next year.
So I think 2015 was the year of, oh, we actually have to do it. All right, let's jump on and make it happen. So a lot of people really reckoned with that social media is here to stay and started incorporating into their business. 2016 is the year of live stream. We've had Periscope and Meerkat, and now Facebook Live is like, okay, here we go. So 2016 is really going to be a blossoming year for people sharing their experiences, sharing for their point of view, sharing what's so for them. And it's going to be explosive, to be short, not only in business, but social activism, how people live their lives. It's going to really, really, really do a lot for how we communicate with others. So, yeah, I think 2016 live streaming is definitely going to change how we interact with others.
So let's talk about your business, and that is the business of social media. How are these new frontiers and these changes in social media going to manifest themselves for example, small businesses with live streaming?
Yeah, you can't hide anymore. Live streaming doesn't allow you to show a fake front. So you really have to be authentic with your audience. You really have to be true to who your brand is and who you are. So I always tell people, and I've always told people this, but people are like, no, I want to put on a face. I want to put on a front. No, it's really important for social media to engage with who you are, to really pull your client in. And live streaming, Facebook, Meerkat, Periscope, all of that is going to make sure that who you say you are is actually showing up, because you can't lie on live streaming. It's just, you can't.
I'm amazed when I talk to you, because half the things that just came out of your mouth, I've never heard of, don't even know what that is. So talk to me about how you relate to a small business owner who comes to you and wants that social media help and wants to be on the cutting edge. Where's that coming from for you?
It's two places. I love live streaming. I think I will admit, it took me a little while to get there, but I love it now and I'm really engaged with it, and it's not for everybody. Like, if you are just starting your business, you have to evaluate whether this platform or these platforms are appropriate for you. So yeah, they're new, they're hip, they're the awesome thing, they're wonderful to be out there, and it might not be for your business. So I'm always looking at that for small business owners. What will actually get clients in your door? What will actually boost your business? And it might not be live streaming. It might be good old Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn, but it's always about what will impact your business, not what's hot out there.
With 2016 being a presidential election year, I would imagine that social media, I mean, it's going to be dominated. It's going to be dominated by presidential politics.
Yeah.
You got the primary starting in a month and a half, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
How are candidates going to effectively be able to use, you mentioned live stream, mm-hmm. right? They spend an arm and a leg on campaign commercials.
Yeah.
Are these live streaming sites widespread enough for them to maybe not spend as much on campaign ads and just go social media?
I think actually it's not that question. It's more of, are they brave enough? Because again, it's all about authenticity. So whether you like them or not, the only person who could probably do live streaming well is Donald Trump, because
right.
he doesn't care. And who he is is who he is is who he is. And everybody else on both sides of the aisle does a little zhuzhing to their image. And so live streaming might not be appropriate for them, because they always have to, well, no, we should do this. Tilt your head this way. No, this looks like this. So there's always little edits, and you can't do that in live stream. You can't pause, re-record, edit it. No, it's out there. So I don't think they would take up live streaming simply because they have to be who they are, and there is no hiding.
For businesses, Twitter, any changes coming in 2016? I had heard a report a couple months ago about maybe they're going to scrap the 140-character limit and all this kind of stuff. What's happening?
Twitter, I think, is going through a little bit of like, who am I? Mm. And so they're definitely doing, they release moments and they're doing a lot of things to really make sure that their audience stays engaged. Because if Twitter doesn't have their audience engaged, there's no Twitter. And so it's really important for them to make sure that the people on Twitter are sharing interesting content that people are like, oh, yeah, I'll get my information there. I'll get my news there, so that people continually come back. And if people stop coming back, there's no Twitter. So they're just, I think right now they're trying different things to make sure that their business stays for a while and that they don't become a MySpace.
Right. We talked about it, but when you were on the show a few months ago, I hate Twitter. Can't stand it. It stresses me out. But Twitter has a big and very rabid fan base. Mm-hmm. People love Twitter. And I would imagine they have to be careful the changes they make so as not to alienate those folks.
You know, yes and no. You know, you could say that about Facebook, but Facebook makes a change and they continually alienate everybody on their platform all the time. And yet we're still on Facebook. So it's leveraging, or it's taking that fine balance between changing to make sure your platform evolves and becomes better and, alienating your fan base.
I was looking at your blog, and the website is w2smarketing.com. You had a really funny post about how you need to be careful using hashtags.
Because
that's something that maybe people think about. I don't know. When I do tweet, I don't really think about it too much. Okay, but you had a specific case of the hashtag, and I'm going to read this so that I get it right.
Okay.
The hashtag was MGE2013, mm-hmm. and that was a hashtag being used by the Mobile Games Conference, as well as Mr. Gay Europe competition.
Exactly.
Which are two different things. That's a little awkward.
Yeah.
So people need to be, I guess the lesson is, careful what hashtags are using.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really a simple search to look at what context the hashtag is being used. There have been a lot of companies who massive, horrible things happen, and they use the hashtag before they know the news event that inspired it, and then everybody's like, that's not appropriate. That's horrible. Why did you do that? So it's a bad PR move. So just research your hashtag just to see how people are using it and if you want your brand to be associated with that.
All right. Tamay Shannon, again, the website w2smarketing.com. She's on Twitter at Where to Start. We appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
All right, let's get back with our third guest, and that is Mr. James Dallas, the author, the businessman, the former CIO of Georgia Pacific and Medtronic. I want to hear about your business background. How did you get started in the information industry?
Well, I got my undergrad degree in accounting. And the reason I got my degree in accounting, I just knew I was going to go to the NBA. Okay, I went to school on a basketball scholarship, and I wanted to be able to keep track of my money. Okay. So I got my degree, then I joined Georgia Pacific as a cost accountant, and then I had a revelation. I saw my first personal computer, and I said, the world is going to change.
What year are we talking about?
We're going back to 84, okay? And I saw the first one up close, Commodore 64, okay? I'm dating myself. Young people, go out and Google it, okay? So I saw that, and then I also paired that with what I was experiencing as a cost accountant, and that we called IT back then data processing. And when we would talk to data processing about doing things, we're talking debits, credits. So we're talking an accounting language. They're talking bits and bytes, the data processing language. I said, there's a role for a person in the middle. So based on those two things, I went to school at night to take programming courses. Then I joined our IT group as a programmer trainee. And it was during that transition that I started supporting businesses, achieving my dream of being the man in the middle. And what I was fortunate at is that over 50% of the businesses or functions I supported, I wound up running. Because I did not go in there just looking at them from an IT standpoint. I learned the business. And more importantly, I learned the people within the business. So I started out as a cost accountant, became an officer at Georgia Pacific over those 22 years. And then when we got acquired, I joined Medtronic. I joined Medtronic as the CIO. And I wound up, when I retired, I was responsible for operations, IT, and quality.
I think we could sit here all day if I ask you what has changed from when you got into the IT field to today. But is there anything that's the same, that has just kind of stayed constant despite all these technological advances?
Yes, it's interesting. It's the people. They've stayed constant. There are two things that people value around this world, and I have been around this world more than one time, okay? The two things are they value security and they value significance. When people say, well, why is Facebook so popular? Why are some of these other social media sites so popular? They give people significance. So anytime I was leading an IT change, I got in and learned what the people, how that change was going to impact someone's security or someone's significance. And that's the same thing whether you're trying to lead change on the school board. You have to understand how it's going to impact those two things that people value the most. So those two things never change. Now, how you go about providing them that security and that significance, IT is changing that fundamentally, okay? Fundamentally, by making it easier for people to access what they need to know and what they want to have. Making it faster for them to do those two things, and then making it a lower cost to access the speed. So be it education, be it finances, be it healthcare.
This is DeKalb Business Today. Matt Holmes talking with James Dallas. He's the author of Mastering the Challenges of Leading Change. I'm curious, you talk about 1984, about 30 years ago, the role of minorities in the IT field, as what it was then as opposed to what it is today.
Well, it was a handful. But back then, when I joined the IT group, I think there were three other African-Americans in IT. But I was fortunate. When I looked, those three embraced me. Even though I was coming in with an accounting degree, and at that time, most people in IT, in fact, the majority, had computer science and math degrees. So they knew what I was trying to do, and they were willing to reach out and help me. And it just weren't the minorities. When I look over my career, I've had white men. They've been my biggest sponsors. And to this day, in fact, Pete Carrell, the CEO of Georgia Pacific, I learned so much from him. And because I saw him transform Georgia Pacific from a commodities company to a consumer products one. And I also saw him build a team of diverse people, women, men. And I asked Pete just recently, Pete, you did that when there was no such thing as diversity and inclusion. I said, what drove you to do that? And he looked me straight in the eye and didn't bat an eye. And he said, it's all about talent. Talent. So when I went into IT, there weren't that many minorities. Now there are a lot more women, people of color, but not to the level that we need. Okay, most women and people of color are tremendous consumers of technology, but they're not creators of technology. Now, what they need to do, what needs to be done, and when I say they, I'm not just talking to people of color. I'm talking to people that have the ability to give them opportunities. Take, for example, when I decided I wanted to go into IT. It took Dave Peterson, who was the manager of the IT group, to say, I'm going to give somebody who's different a chance to come in because I think he or she can make an impact. So if you're in the room and have access to opening your door, it is upon you to open that door. Now, if you're outside of the room and want to get in, it's on you to knock on that door and be prepared when it opens. You come in there and you knock it out of the park.
I love that. James Dallas is our guest, the author of Mastering the Challenges of Leadership Change. Now, you recently were the winner of the Lifetime Achievement Award from Georgia CIO. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that when I look over my 30-year-plus career, that's the award that I treasure the most. And here's why. The Georgia CIO Association consists of all of the CIOs, for-profit, non-profit, governmental, within the state. And the focus of the organization is to increase the impact that the CIOs and technology have on businesses and our community. So that award recognizes people who've had an impact and is voted on by peers. So to have your peers recognize the impact that you had, that is just tremendous. It caught me by surprise. It's a tremendous honor, but it's one that motivates me and hopefully motivates others to continue to use IT to make a difference in our companies, our organizations, and our communities.
Before we wrap up, talk to me about some of the obstacles over 30 plus years that you've faced professionally and overcome.
Okay, they're primarily two of them. The biggest obstacle is what exists between your 2 ears of what you think you can do and how well you think you can do it. In fact, the phrase I like to use is that everybody has what I call the itty bitty crappy committee meeting every day in their minds, telling them what they can't do. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And too many of us, we listen to that. So what you have to do is stop attending those meetings.
The itty bitty crappy committee.
Absolutely. Okay. So once you break the limitations of your mind, then you can start breaking the limitations in other people's mind. So what I tell people, in order to be a leader, you have to set yourself apart in order to bring people together. Okay? So that's my fundamental belief on leadership. Then we say, okay, now what's the other responsibility of the other barrier you have to break? The other biggest barrier you have to break, getting back to people, is to know how they're going to come at you. And when I say they, the people who are just adamantly opposed at the change that you're presenting or representing, because it just threatens their power base. And they don't want to give up their power base for the good of the community or the good of the organization. They're all about themselves.
Is that just doing your homework ahead of time? Is that having a little bit of psychology?
Well, it's about understanding politics. You have to understand politics in order to lead change. And understanding politics is understanding the ways that people may try to resist and fight change. One of the key ways is that let's just keep pushing it out. Let's just keep studying it. Analysis paralysis. Or let's keep up and bringing up the same issues. In fact, I call that technique the Friday the 13th technique. And the reason I call it that, you know the movie, every time they thought they had killed Jason, he came back to life. Well, when you're leading change, every time you think you've settled an issue, it pops back up to life. Okay. The other thing, if you're leading a change that is a fundamental one, then they're going to try to come at your character. So if I can disparage your character enough, people won't even listen to what you have to say. So you have to learn the techniques, the communication techniques of blocking and bridging. You also have to be authentic. Because even if you're not trying to be authentic, now with social media, you will be found out. Okay, that used to be a game, and this is the power of social media. There used to be a game we played in grammar school where you would whisper something in the first person's ear, and then they would whisper that to everybody around the room. And by the time it got to the last person, it would be fundamentally different than what you whispered. The power of social media now, you whisper it to that first person. By the time it gets around to the last person, it's more accurate. Because people have triaged. Well, oh, you saw that? Well, let me tell you what I saw. And the next thing you know, a complete picture of you has been formed. So you have to be authentic. And that in order to lead change, you have to be authentic. And that you don't have to agree with what I'm saying, but you trust what I'm saying. So once I know where you're coming from and you know where I'm coming from, we can meet. I'm a firm believer that everybody has something in common. And a lot of times we focus on the differences and therefore we don't make any progress versus focusing in on what we have in common and building off of it.
That's some tremendous insight. I would imagine you can find a lot more of it in Mastering the Challenges of Leading Change, Inspire the People and Succeed Where Others Fail. James Dallas, the author. James, we appreciate you sharing all that with us.
Thank you very much.
Jim?
Where can we purchase the book?
Yeah, that's a great question. You can't just go to the bookstore anymore, I guess isn't the best way.
Absolutely. You can go to any online bookseller, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can come to my website, jdallasandassociates.com. Okay? Or you can hook me up or look me up on Twitter at HJamesDallas.
There you go. Mastering the social media as well. I want to get back with Jim McMahon as we have a few minutes left and wanted to ask you about one of the issues that will be coming up before the school board, I guess, in 2016. It's this tax allocation district thing that I'm not sure a lot of people really know what it is. Maybe those who are plugged in do, but can you give us just a little bit of a primer of what that's all about? That's something they're going to be hearing about.
To the tax allocation district in DeKalb County, I'll just put it to you right now. There's three of them existing. There's one at Kensington Station. There's one at the Briarcliff Corridor. I am not 100% sure where the third one is located. Dorrville is proposing a fourth tax allocation district for the proposed redevelopment of the General Motors site. It is a $2 billion planned development. They are asking support from the DeKalb County government and the school system. Just this week, on Tuesday, the DeKalb County government approved an intergovernmental agreement with our county government and the with Dorrville regarding approving the TAD. The school board has yet to vote on it. I am encouraging my colleagues just to have an open dialogue and discussion about it. And so we're getting a lot of information in just the last couple of weeks. You know, there's been a lot of press coverage. We're talking about it right now. Mm-hmm. But we're just getting up to speed on all the information. I'll tell you this. No one on the school board wants to limit our funding for education. We are just now turning the corner and get from a financial standpoint, fiscally responsible. So we're moving, we're just getting on a good foundation, fiscal foundation. So we don't want to damage that. But we do want to promote economic development. That's not our core business. Our core business is educating the kids. But if there's any way that we can help promote DeKalb, then I think it would be worth our time just to look at it and have that open dialogue.
So that's on the school board's agenda for 2016. Talk to me about, as you guys wrestle with that, talk to me about how moms and dads, the regular school parents out there, can get involved and they can help make a difference.
Ooh, great question. Thank you. I preach kind of from my personal experience is if you're not an active in your PTA or if you have not joined your local school council, those are the first two steps. We as a district are utilizing technology to engage our parents. We have a district app that you can download on your phone that encourages, you know, it tells you about if your bus is even late. You know, we're getting to the improving our communication between our district and our parents. So just, you know, getting engaged with your school, that's about it right there. So, I mean, PTA, local school council, and then we will, if you still have capacity for more volunteer, give me a call and I'll point you in the right direction.
There you go. Let's bring it back to the full table as we wrap up here. Talk about some business resolutions for 2016. Tamay, we'll start with you. What are some of the things that you resolved for 2016 to help spread and improve your business?
So I guess some of my resolutions or commitments mm-hmm. to myself and my business for 2016, they're going to be, I'm not even ready. How about let's create something. So you know what? Actually, I'm going to resolve to attend more out-of-state conferences. Atlanta has a lot of really great marketing and social media conferences. But California, New York, there's a couple in Chicago. There's some really great conferences. So expanding my connection with my peers because it's always an ever-changing field. And so the more that I can learn from my peers, the better that I am.
There's something to learn from that. You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So you're talking about spending money to make money because that's a lot
course.
Of travel that's on your dime.
It is. Yes, it is. But you know what? I'm the boss. So you know what? I might have some vacation tied in with those conferences. Who knows?
There you go. Mr. Dallas, how about you? What's ahead in 2016?
Well, to continue building on 2015, and that is opening more doors and opening more minds, encouraging more people to think outside of the box, and then providing them with an opportunity to apply that thinking.
Jim, we talked about the school board. How about for you professionally at McMahon Mortgage? What are some priorities, some resolutions for 2016?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So 2016, I will build on my realtor relationships and collectively, not just, you know, it's not all about the transaction, but it's building those relationships. And if we can continue to support our schools in that way, that's one point. Another point, I will credit, you know, Business Radio X with this, that I will read Mastering the Challenges of Leading Change.
There you go.
Mr. Austin. And also I'll give Tamay a call regarding my social presence and get a little better information from experts in the field regarding my social presence and utilizing technology to expand my business base. So those are my commitments today.
I love it. And I do want to commend you for the Christmas sweater vest. Unfortunately, this is radio. The folks listening can't see it, but we'll take a picture. We'll post it to the website so that people can see. I mean, you went all out. We're a week away from Christmas. Good for you.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I figured since we were on radio, I'd go ahead and wear the tacky Christmas sweater. But I do appreciate Radio X DeKalb Studio for saving the best for last for the presentation of this year. And look forward to collaborating with you in 2016. Thank
you,
Matt.
That's wonderful. We look forward to that as well. Jim McMahon, the owner and broker of McMahon Mortgage, also on the DeKalb School Board. McMahonMortgage.com is the website. Tamay Shannon, CEO of W2S Marketing, W2SMarketing.com, and at Where to Start on Twitter. And then, of course, James Dallas with J. Dallas Associates. JDallasAssociates.com is his website. and at H. James Dallas on Twitter. And of course, that book, Mastering the Challenges of Leading Change, Inspire the People and Succeed Where Others Fail. A great panel. We appreciate having you guys here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Very much.
And that'll do it for this edition. That'll do it for 2015 here on DeKalb Business Radio. We will be back stronger, bigger, better than ever on January 8th. That's a Friday, so stay tuned. January 8th, 2016 will be our next show. Until then, we hope you have a very Merry Christmas, very Happy New Year. For Mike Salmon filling in today, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you next year here on DeKalb Business Today.